exercise more in the gospel message or interested in the people I'm talking to. I believe the secret of the whole thing is not to be so excited with your message as the one that needs the message. Now, you that are unsaved here, you may not understand this. If you're not saved, this meeting is here for you. These lights are burning for you, and the Christians have gathered here for you. We're speaking for you. It's all for you. So all the joy of the world is what we do for others. And the joy of being here for you. The gospel is for the unsaved. As far as the gospel is concerned, if they were all Christians and we knew it, it would be foolish to have a gospel meeting. The gospel meeting is for the unsaved. There are three parts in the scripture that just come to me almost while my brother was speaking. One poem in Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. And one in the Gospel by John, chapter 1, and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave his power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe him. And one back in the Epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, go back to Job 14 again, and we read verse 10, says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And the question raised, where is he? Where is he? Now, the Bible speaks of two dwelling places that are eternal. Isaiah 33 speaks of who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burning. The psalmist David could say in the 23rd Psalm, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Men make great preparation for a dwelling place here, even if I was going to rent a place maybe just for a year. My wife would want to go along and investigate the place where we were going to dwell for just 12 months. Then when we did start to dwell, we wouldn't know how long we might be there. For the last few months, my son-in-law was with me and myself and our wife. We were building a new home, a duplex. And by the end, partners said to them, come out every day, come out every day. And if anything you see that you want this way or that way, what's it all about? A dwelling place is uncertain. We don't know whether we'll ever get into it. And when we get into it, we don't know whether we'll be there for a week or a few days. And yet the Bible speaks of two dwelling places. Who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burning? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why did David say that? For the reason he said was, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And that's the reason we can stand here and tell you we know where we're going to dwell. Forever and forever and forever. You say, I'm not interested. Well, you better be. There's going to come a time when that will be the only thing of any interest. For I see people in my my 45 years, I never noticed before that our brother Lawrence would say, 45 years ago, so was I. Well, you got two old men up on the platform as far as Christian is concerned. Saved 45 years. And for 45 years, I can say it as simply as David, the Lord is my shepherd. I am my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall dwell in the house forever and forever and forever. Aren't you interested where you're going to dwell forever? You're interested where you're going to dwell for a few months and go back uncertain? Two dwelling places. I was thinking of three men in the Bible tonight that made three discoveries. When we read to the first chapter of John, the Gospel by John, there's a man named Nicodemus, and he made the discovery that every man is going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever has discovered, and his name is Nicodemus,
And he discovered one night, in the way of the night about midnight, he discovered what I discovered. I discovered that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you ever made that discovery? We're living in times when people make great discoveries. And some of them no doubt for man's good, and some of them no doubt for man's ruin. But we're in the land of discovery. But the greatest discovery that I ever discovered in my life was when I discovered that except a man be born again, and I was a man, and you were a man that was born of a woman, in a few days, full of trouble, and God, I went to the way, gave man given the growth. What is it? I just read out East Alignment here. We went into a graveyard one time and we read on an episode of Baseball. Remember me as you passed by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon shall be. Prepare yourself to follow me. And I learned that by heart, as you notice. I was talking to a man one day and he began to laugh. He said, I wouldn't want to follow him until I knew where he went. Well, I said, that's easy understood, because that man needs a preparation where he was. You don't need a preparation where you're going. I don't need no preparation to go to hell. It's just wrong, dear. You don't need no preparation to dwell in the everlasting glory. But you do need a preparation if you're on a dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And there are those of us here tonight that thank God we are prepared to meet God. If I just by tonight, the undertaker wouldn't get my body until my soul went out from the body and said to the Lord. I know some people say that's boasting. And they say it's boasting. There you know. It's boasting. There you don't know. You're the one boasting. You're boasting. God's word. God's word says these things have I written unto you. That believe in the name of the Son of God. That you may know! That you may know! That you may know! I had a funeral with the description that was saved in my minutes 1925 a few weeks ago. And when I got down to the undertaker in that town, there's two undertakers. And they had their competition. And you can find it out if you, well, I've had funerals with both of them. And one of them kind of likes to run the other one down. And I can see they're working for business. And when I come in there to prepare for the funeral, the undertaker said, will you do something for me? Well, I said, if it's reasonable, I will. What is it? Now, you know, whenever we have a funeral, we give them a Bible. And he said, it's a beautiful Bible. And I want you to give it to them for me. But he said, I'd like to have you preach out of this Bible. And then mark the places you preach out of. And then give it to them so they have a memory of what they preached about at the funeral. Oh, I said, I got a Bible that's all the pieces. I said, I've got the sister's Bible herself. And I said, she's got it all marked. And I said, I've already written out of the Bible which verses that she had marked. And I discovered that those verses in the Bible that she had marked were things that we know. And the Apostle Paul says, I know that in these calling so good. And that was Mark. I have the joy, I think. Have you ever found that up there? Sister must have thought of that. She must have thought there's no good thing in her. Why did that interrupt her? And then the next one was, the apostle says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. She had that underlined too. And then she had another underline. We know that if we enter into the house of this tabernacle and his house, we have a vision of God eternal in heaven, not made in the next. We know. We have a young man that professed to be saved some years ago at our meeting. And he was in the meeting for about 15 years. And one night we were preaching on the man that came in without a wedding gun. And after the meeting he came to me and he said, I'm going to hang on no longer. He said, I've never had that wedding gun. And he broke down and cried like a baby. He said, I've never had that wedding. And he got saved a few nights after that. And I said to him, no longer. Tell me, how did you get by so long? Well, he said, you know, I wasn't sure, but I said I was. And I thought all the rest of the people were going to say, because I was good. Now, wasn't that a good thing? expecting people to say that they know when they don't know at all. I did that one time. I come to the old Mr. Old. I met him on the train one time, and he asked me if I was a Christian. I said, yes, sir. Anyone know how long I've been one? And I said, I think about 2 years. I thought that was satisfying. And one day I said, 2 years, he wondered where I was when I was become a Christian. Well, then I had to dig up something else quick. And I said, I think it's really something to me. Well, I don't have much sympathy with people that have these altar calls, because I got fooled so terrible that way, and I was so near the thing that I fooled the very way from the man that I was led to Christ through, that I was a sinner saved by faith, and I was wrong when boy told me. And when I told him where, he wouldn't know how. Why, that was terrible. How? And then I got up what my call was my debt, and I said, do you think everybody gets no acquaintance where and how? I don't know what I smell, but I felt like it. Do you know that everybody knows when and where and how? But he says, I know. I know. And he said to me, that night that Zebedee he was discovered, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when he read that conversation between Christ and Nicodemus that night, I discovered that Christ came to explain that new birth. I knew nothing about the new birth, but Christ explained to Nicodemus. And if I couldn't tonight read the third chapter of the Gospel of myself and put my experience alongside of it, and thank God that I experienced the very experience that Christ told Nicodemus that night. For thou shalt dwell in the everlasting body. That man that's not born again. You show me a man in his meaning that's not born again, and he never discovered that he hasn't been born again. I'll show you a man that has 10 years in the lake which burned the fire and brimstone.
Who said that? Well, listen to me, I'm just thinking what the Bible says. Where we were just recently, for about 7 weeks, we saw quite a number didn't say. And some of them went awakened, some of the neighbors told them they were fools going down to the meeting. One woman said, why, said my neighbor's all against me going down that hall. Heads that are making fun of me. But she said, we've discovered it is the truth down there. Why, this is exactly what we need. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you and I ever discovered that we haven't been born again, and discovered that we weren't born again, and discovered we could be born again, and then born again, and know when and where and how we were born again. Now that man discovered he needed to be born again. We don't read that he got saved, but I'll read the Gospel of John. Truth was, the man got saved all that. But we don't get the experience of his own experience in the Word of John. But when we get to the 16th chapter of the Acts, we find a man there that discovered not only that he needed to be saved, but he discovered how to be saved. Have you ever discovered that in person, how to be saved? That was the deal. That was keeping Paul and Barnabas that night and thrust them into the inner prison. And while they were there about midnight, the prisoners heard them singing praises to God. No doubt the facts were being there fast in the shop. And I couldn't see outwardly anything under the sun to sing about what they were singing. And they were praising God because they knew that sins were given. And no doubt they thought of it a very experience to suffer for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even suffered. Gave his life for the sheep. And you remember that night, God caused an earthquake, and God shook that prison, and the doors flew open, and the prisoner awakened out of his sleep. He called for light, and his cell came in and fell down trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Got the divine answer. He believed it. Have you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall we say it? Why, it'll be nice if someone in the tent of Lyman on this Saturday night. We've seen it happen here before. I remember more than once going outside of the tent after a gospel meeting. And some come telling me, I got saved tonight. I got saved, and then I'm sure Donald Charles remembers experiences, some of the rest of it the same. That people got saved. How did they get saved? They discovered when they discovered God's way to this world again. Have you ever discovered, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the
children born of a woman of 2 days are full of trouble. And yet in that troublesome place, they dwell in, they seek for a dwelling place, and their two eternal body places right in front of you, and God only knows tomorrow's sunrise. They never see you long, little did I to see it. When we was up the sunburg this summer, I was speaking to a young 19 girl, 19 years of age. And I remember she was so interested, I was sitting on a chair sitting in the Davenport, and the dear girl, she'd been telling me, she said she'd always been confused all her life. But she said, I come to 2 or 3 year meetings, and I was confused worse than ever. And I was glad to hear that she was confused worse than ever. Because it is us that can enlighten you. It's God's word that can enlighten you. It's God that has to save you. And I remember when I was showing that girl these scriptures, her mother, a little short woman, come around, and she stuck her head between her little face and the Bible, so the little girl had to look around. This way to see it. Her mother was more interested in seeing to be the girl was. But the girl got saved that afternoon. And over a mile north, a little girl 8 years old got killed almost at the same time right in the same neighborhood. Her aunt was driving the car. A truck come down and lost control. Hit the back of that car, and the car hit a stump along the road, and it turned sideways, and fell over its side. And the dear little girl started to fall out. And when the car went over its side, the door was open. And when it fell on its side, the poor little girl's head was in the door, and he touched it. And a few days afterwards, I went to see the father of the 21-year-old boy coming home from the Minneapolis State Fair. He don't know whether he went to sleep or what. But I went to see that dear boy, 21 years of age, laying cold and dead. Friends, you don't know what a day I've been for. I'm glad for any interest that we have in your soul. But our interest in your soul, once gave you've got to get interested in yourself. This is a personal matter. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'd advise you, if you've got a desire to know your sins forgiven, you cherish that desire, and feed that desire, and thank God that you've got a desire to be saved, for it's a God-given desire. Oh, the blessing of the Lord is on a person. That's one of them. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that jailer that night, he must have been hungering and thirsting. For he come out and called for light and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Didn't say God long to do it because he and his whole household were saved and were baptized and were singing praise and what a happy company that had been. Wouldn't like him in there? I would. I'd have just liked him in there. My, what a happy company that was. I know a little bit about it because I had that joy, but I didn't have the joy of seeing my whole family saved like he did. I don't know what I'd have done. I was seeing a woman, her father, see three of her children just baptized last Sunday, all three of them saved. And her mother came down to see me the other day and she said to me, I just couldn't hardly contain the joy. When I saw my three children pouring down from the waters of baptism, I and my household saved, and my friends tasted it all, what it is to be saved ourselves. They tasted the joy of seeing others saved. My wife got saved, didn't want them to lie. Well, I just got saved all over again. You understand what I mean? Why, it was just wonderful. I run down the road the first morning, I was saved and told my father-in-law. And my wife got saved, I went down and told my father-in-law and mother-in-law both. And they got saved. I seemed to have more excited about her than I was about my own self. I was, my wife got saved. What a joy it is. What a joy to be here tonight. If someone in line would close in with God's awful mercy. God is provided that way. What is it awful thing? To be like the last one I'm going to speak, this isn't quite the joyful. There's a man discovered in the 16th chapter of Luke what the end of the man is born again. A man that never discovered he needed to be born again. And the man that never discovered how to be born again. Jesus says, can the man be born again? He cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you're not born again, then you leave this world without being born again. You're among those who dwell in the everlasting furnace. The Revelation tells us, whosoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If your name is not written there, and God doesn't honestly, he isn't honestly able to put your name there. Now, God ain't going to put your name until you have what entitles you to have it there. You notice it's the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got to have that light in order to have your name written there. I used to sing in the choir too. Our brother was singing, telling about being a Baptist. I was a Baptist too.
And I used to sing in the choir too. And I used to sing, is your name written there? In the book, White and Fair, in the book of Thy Kingdom, is your name written there? But I never stopped to consider what it was. I was doing church activities. There were people going through church activities. Just recently, there was a Catholic priest in our town tonight, a man about 30 years of age. He gave me a ring over the phone, asked me if I had any recollection of when I baptized a man that used to be a bootlegger that got saved. His name was Whitey Currie. And I said, well, I kept a diary, and I said, I suppose I could look it up. Well, he says, he'd like to know because his first wife is trying to get into our church. And we want to find out if he is a baptized Christian or a baptized sinner. Now, whether he knew anything about it, I don't know. But anyway, I went down. And after he was down and he asked me, I showed him the date. We got to talking, and I noticed we were going to get into a kind of a disagreement. And I said, wait a minute. I said, can you disagree without being disagreeable? Yes, he says, I can. Well, I said, I can too. So he got his jury version, he got his concordance, and we were going around and around, and finally he said to me, you're all right as far as you go, but you don't go far enough. But I said, where? How did you get further? Tell me how you got it in. And what have you got that I ain't got? Do you know your sins forgiven? Oh, he said, nobody knows that than I do. Then I think I've got further than you do. I've got further than you. And you know what that dear boy told me before I left? He said, if I didn't know what you say you know, I'd give up my priesthood. I'd give up my religion. I'd give it all if I could know what you say you know. And he says, that's all we're striving for, eternal life. I said, I've got that. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, I went away there happy as a lark. Not about him, but about myself. But I wasn't in darkness. And when he said, you don't go further, this is what he told me. He says, you know, you can't go as far as I do because you can't eat the bread and drink his blood. For nobody but a Catholic priest can translate that into the flesh and the blood. Well, I said, now that would be a really hard one for me to eat bread. And the taste of that bread, you make me believe the flesh. I don't know how you're ever getting me to see that because my taste is a little better than them. And I, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see how you'd ever go further. Now that doesn't what that means at all. Friend, if you want to eat the flesh of the Son of God, that means appropriating personal in your heart that Jesus' body was broken for you. That's the way to approach that. I instruct that for you. That's the way it is applied. The Israelites, they have to have the door, not on the doorpost, but on the window. And God said, when I see the blood. And he also says, man, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. You didn't see the blood. If you'd have been looking at me tonight, you wouldn't know the blood that applied. But I did. And my first sermon was about that. Somebody asked me one time, how long you been preaching? I said, ever since I was saved. I said, my first audience was my wife. About midnight. I took a dash from the sitting room into the bedroom, and I grabbed her by the shoulders, and I shook her until I thought I had her a little physically. And then I said, God just saved my soul through the blood. I don't know if I ever knew anything about the blood before. I don't know where I ever got a hold of it, unless it's Stephen Kirkby. But anyway, I knew it was in the blood. It is in the blood. And the blood is always precious to him, but it's precious now to me. So let all my soul is left from fear and doubt that breathe. And this rich man, he discovered in hell there is up on an air that never discovered in this world that he needs to get born again. That new birth comes by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him. To them is the power, the authority, and the right. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. No wonder John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Who does? That we should be called the sons of God. Are you a son of God? I often tell people before I was saved, I was milking one night, and my neighbor, Mr. Herman, came up one night, and I was chewing tobacco. And I had a big chew in my mouth there. And my mother used to take tobacco as an Indian weed, and from the devil came the seed, and promised us boys we have a watch on the 60th birthday if we never use tobacco. And I got mine on. I can say that still. I can say that on. even after I'm saved.
I'm wondering, I've said it to Honest before, but I said, since I'm saved, that's really honest life. And I remember Mr. Herman come up in the barn, and I asked him if a man could be a Christian and chew tobacco. And I had a chew in my mouth then, and I was a church member, singing the choir on Sunday, go to prayer meeting, go to Sunday school too. And I asked him, I have confidence in that man. What a great thing it is to get the confidence of you, Ned. Well, my neighbor had my confidence, and don't you forget it. And I said, can a man be a Christian and chew tobacco? And he said, oh yes, but that ain't the point. And when he said the point, I thought, well, what is the point anyway? Well, what is the point? What is it? I don't understand it. Then he turned around and said, well, it doesn't look nice for a child of God. He didn't say it nice for a Christian. He went and turned the tables on me and called it a child of God instead of a Christian. And from that time on, I never had no peace until I knew I was born into God's family, and I knew that I was a child of God. Oh, my friend, I wouldn't trade a moment of my life. Here I'm an old man, nearly 76 years of old, and I wouldn't be surprised, I'm talking to a number here, that you'll never hear my stammering voice again. My poor lisping tongue. But oh, we'd like to meet in the glory. We would. Your soul is dear to the heart of Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his own. Christ loved the church, he gave himself for it. But the apostle Paul could say he loved me, and he gave himself for me. And I'm trusting tonight that at the close of this week, there may be someone discover that they need to be born again. And you'll discover that that new birth comes when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't discover that here, you're going to be like the rich man down in the caverns of hell. You discover the end, the result, the penalty, the tragedy of a person that died without being born again. For Christ will never change his word to suit your fancy or mind. You'll have to bow to it sooner or later. It's in the book, my friend. But except the man be born again. Now this new birth doesn't come by joining something, because I joined several things. I joined the Baptist, and then I joined the First Brethren. The First Brethren put me 3 times under the water for baptism, and then we have to wash one another's feet to get our feet clean once in a while at the communion feast and all that. I went through all that. But that isn't the point at all. The point is when you see and believe and accept that when Jesus died upon that cross, that it was your sin that was taken care of, and there's no need of asking for anything more or more simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, whoever you are, shalt be saved.
Amen. A couple of verses are too far. The fair in life, he's the look at the truth, he's my one. There is life at this moment for thee. There